This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, everyone. Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind. Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24-pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere. And it's basketball season. My schedule is packed, and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We're streaming live on YouTube, and we are, I'm trying to think of the right wording for this, Anthony. We're just like feeding a content cycle. It's like we're just eating ourselves here, is what we're about to do. Because Connor Orr said something on a podcast. Linnell brought it to me. We talked about it. Apparently, our response got back to Orr. Now he wrote about it, and now we're going to talk about what he wrote about.
That's fun.
It is the content cycle on display. So initially, what started this were comments by Connor Orr on the MMQB podcast, a podcast that he hosts with Albert Breer. They're smart guys, been around. I've listened it from time to time. It's not in my regular rotation, but I've heard clips and all that kind of stuff. Anthony, do you happen to remember what day that we did this with Linnell? What's today? Today's the 19th. I think it was
on a Wednesday.
Yeah, so it was a week ago today. Here we go. This is the bite. Okay, this is what started it all. Admittedly, this is cut because we can't play their whole podcast. One, we don't have the time. Two, that's illegal because it's their podcast. If you want to go listen to their podcast, you can listen to their podcast. But I do not believe in listening to the fullness of the clip that we are taking this at all out of context.
I did not like Washington's free agency at all. I hate the idea of microwaving this process and just being like, oh, okay, we made it to the NFC title game. Let's get Deebo Samuel and Laremy Tunsil and let's trade away all of our picks for veteran guys and this, you know, it's not 2010 anymore. Like, it doesn't necessarily work that way. And now you're putting a lot on Jaden Daniels' plate. And for everybody that's telling me, well, you have to strike while the iron's hot.
Yeah.
That's what the Jets said with Mark Sanchez. That's what the Texans said with CJ Stroud. That's what all these teams, you know, that's what the Eagles said with Carson Wentz. And it ended up just overloading these guys. And then they were never the same.
I thought that was incredibly stupid for a million reasons. We talked about it. And then I was in my Twitter mentions, which is a place I don't go very often because I literally don't use Twitter for anything but trying to find links and all that kind of stuff. And I see that someone had responded to an article that Orr wrote earlier in the week and tagged me saying, hey, I see you responding to Craig. I think the answer is to try to grow this roster a little more organically, blah, blah, blah. And so I clicked on the article and here's what Orr wrote about the Commanders. Let's talk about the Commanders in a little more detail. Shockingly, a truncated clip of something I said generated some frustration in a local market that assumes I either hate the franchise, haven't examined it thoroughly enough, or that I'm baiting people into getting upset. I can assure you that there are all three of these assertions are 100% true. Kidding. First of all, we like a little self-deprecation. Points for Connor Orr. That's funny. Second of all, if you're talking specifically about our show, I don't think you hate the franchise, haven't examined it thoroughly enough, or are baiting people. I just think you're wrong on multiple fronts and your analysis was bad. So I'm happy to have Connor on and we can talk about it. And I will say that to his face as well, because I don't think anything he said was remotely correct in terms of how it was characterized. But I do think that once you get past the snippiness, he does bring up some interesting questions, make some interesting points. So let's engage in good faith and read the rest of what he said. You ready to go, Anthony?
I'm locked and loaded. Let's get it.
All right. When I talked about my concern with the Commanders offseason and a kind of microwaving of their process after making it to the NFC Championship game, most people took issues with the examples I gave of similar processes gone wrong, specifically Mark Sanchez and the Jets.
Yeah, because Mark Sanchez was Mark Sanchez and Jaden Daniels is Jaden Daniels.
Hello. Anyway. While it's true that Sanchez was helped immeasurably by the addition of LaDainian Tomlinson, the continued additions to maximize the team's championship window, Santonio Holmes, Plexico Burris, Derek Mason, absolutely torpedoed the club, and those who believe it had nothing to do with the deflation of the Rex Ryan era simply weren't there to see it happen. So how about some other examples that I think bolster my point? After Andrew Luck's rookie season, the Colts felt a kind of pressure to improve the roster immediately and compete for a championship. They traded a first-round pick for Trent Richardson. After Baker Mayfield's promising start, the Cleveland Browns traded for Odell Beckham to pair with Jarvis Landry, lest I remind you of this fun little controversy, which seems so lovingly harmless for the Browns in 2025. There was the whole, it's a link to an article about the whole Odell thing. After Kyler Murray's ascension, the Arizona Cardinals hammered the gas pedal and traded for DeAndre Hopkins, enjoying one Pro Bowl season before getting two incomplete seasons and a suspension for performance-enhancing drug use. What about Trevor Lawrence? Our antenna were certainly up when the Jacksonville Jaguars paid a king's ransom for Christian Kirk and aggressively swooped in on Evan Ingram as well. My point is that Deebo Samuel, who had the worst yards per route run total of his career in 2024 and has had a kind of mixed history when it comes to being a great teammate, at least deserves consideration before we throw up our hands and declare the Commanders an overwhelming winner of the offseason. The same can be said for Laremy Tunsil, who is great but was also available for a reason. NFL teams don't just trade in-prime franchise left tackles while their young QBs are still on their rookie deals. On the podcast, co-host Albert Breer posed a fair question in rebuttal. What would I do instead? And I think the answer is to try to grow this roster a little more organically. And here's where I think he actually makes a good point. Cooper Kupp was so much more valuable to Stafford than anyone else. Ja'Marr Chase is indefinitely more helpful to Joe Burrow than any other wideout with the Cincinnati Bengals. Receivers who are pre-baked into the system, its quirks and its intricacies, are far more likely to bail a quarterback out of a bad spot than a ringer brought in from an offense that was falling apart, especially a receiver who took a fair number of snaps at running back over the 2 years. I have no problem bringing back Ertz and Wagner, who were part of the reason the team was there in the first place, but why not empower them to cook and help mentor the new crop of drafted talent? I suppose the great sin here is doubting Quinn's ability to keep everyone happy and committed. The last part is the most important, and I'll start there because I think it is a level of humility and kind of the answering of his own question that was, if you're defending the Washington plan, is needed. My issue with all of the other examples is those are other examples. And yes, Ja'Marr Chase and Cooper Kupp, I'm glad he did both of those because Ja'Marr Chase would have helped any offense because he's Ja'Marr freaking Chase. But Cooper Kupp was not some sure thing coming out of the draft. He was not a top five pick, and he's very much the perfect Sean McVay receiver for a decade, which is why he was Cooper Kupp. And him being able to play with Sean in that system and growing first Jared Goff and then being able to help integrate with Matthew Stafford, like, okay, fine. The organic route, specifically at receiver, might make sense. But like the 2007 New England Patriots that traded for Randy Moss, he fit in quite fine. And I'm not saying Debo is 2007 Randy Moss, but they had a plan for him. They used it, and it worked. The reason Debo's fine here, and basically also I would say Ja'Marr Chase is one of the most physically gifted and incredibly mentally smart guys in the league. Cooper Kupp might be the smartest wide receiver in the entire NFL. Add that with Sean McVay, no wonder it worked. Had Cooper Kupp been drafted by someone else and, you know, maybe cut after 2 years because it didn't work out and signed with Sean McVay, Cooper Kupp would have turned into Cooper Kupp whether they drafted him or not. The question is not about how the player is acquired. The question is whether the player fits. And that, I think, is the first mistake in saying that they're like microwaving this, right? They're drafting or they're acquiring guys in ways that, like, with specific roles in mind. Like, that was the magic last year. Everybody, like, they won 12 games last year with all new guys. There was no incumbency. So trying to make an argument that a team needs to just grow from the inside when last year they planted a bunch of stuff from other places because Ron Rivera left the cupboard that bare that they changed over literally more players than anyone else in the league is an argument that kind of falls flat because they've already proven they can do it. And so I think you're just, to me, Anthony, if the argument is they're microwaving this, you are focused on the wrong things. You're focused on the how the player is acquired, not who they acquired and how they fit with the actual football team for which they will be playing in 2025.
Yeah, I think the point that you made about the roster overhaul that Dan Quinn and Adam Peters did last year where we bring in 28, 29 new free agents is very telling. And unless you have that background knowledge about, you know, why, you know, we're upgrading at receiver, you know, us bringing in Debo is an upgrade for Zacchaeus and the manner in which we use Zacchaeus kind of thing. So I think it's null and void for him to, you know, say something like that, especially if you don't, maybe he does, you know, fully understand what we did last year. But I think us being in this market, we better have a sense for the team and sort of kind of what they're doing.
I mean, sure, I don't hold that against him. What I disagree with and would be happy to have him on the show to talk about is the fact that all, like, bringing up more bad examples doesn't make your argument right. Let's go through the examples that he brought up real quick. He goes back to the Jets one and all those guys. Okay, Rex Ryan as a people manager versus Dan Quinn as a people manager, no contest. Also, how many other of the coaches and executives on that staff got other jobs in the league after? Not very many. They got a ton of jobs at GetUp on ESPN. I'm not saying they're dumb, they're football dummies. Rex Ryan certainly had other jobs and, you know, it was a mixed bag as a head coach, and that's fine. But, like, the ability to make the egos and manage and all that kind of stuff, I think Dan Quinn is far better suited. And again, they're picking specific guys here. And also, like, Santonio Holmes, Plaxico Burress, like, I don't know that those are the easiest personalities. And I don't know that Debo is either, but he's one. Tunsil, I don't know is the easiest personality, but, like, nobody says Laremy Tunsil's a bad teammate. They say he's not a leader. They don't need him to be a leader here. They know that. They know that going in. Also, Adam Peters knows Debo Samuel. These aren't new things. Andrew Luck. You can't, like, one, did anybody think trading a first-round pick for Trent Richardson was a good idea at the time? No. So bringing up a team that made a dumb move that we knew at the time, and then Andrew Luck's injury history was terrible. Every time he was healthy, they were good. When they weren't, he was bad. Whatever. Trying to compare what Baker did as a rookie to what Jaden did, and again, the personality of someone like Debo versus someone like Odell. And by the way, Debo better behave because he's on a one-year deal. Very different. After Kyler Murray's ascension, the Cardinals traded for DeAndre Hopkins, got one Pro Bowl season, and then two incomplete seasons and the suspension. Yeah, maybe let's not have our guy get suspended and things would have gone a little better, but a lot of that was injury-related. Like, those Cliff teams, as we revisited a ton last offseason, were pretty good to get started, and then they fell apart, quite literally. And then with Lawrence, everyone said that the Christian Kirk deal wasn't a great one. And they were big on Evan Ingram. They had some good years. They made multiple playoff runs. But also, Trent Baalke is thought of to be like some kind of dark artist who we didn't even know how he kept his job so long until he finally got fired this offseason. Nobody thought Trent Baalke was actually good as an executive. Look at what we think of what Adam Peters is. And so instead of focusing on a bunch of people who have proven to not be very good at the job following similar paths, quit. This has been my thing this entire offseason. It's not about the path. It's not about the plan. There is no perfect plan. It's about executing the plan. If you can build a championship contender with all trades and no draft picks, be my guest as long as you win. If you can do it without a single trade or a single free agent acquisition, that's fine. But you are at the mercy of being of the market, which is a phrase. Now I feel like Linnell, or the catchphrase. You're at the mercy of the market, because he always talking about the mercy of the evaluator, right? But like, ultimately, you have to respond to the market. I'm going to un-catchphrase myself. You have to have the ability to respond to the market. This market for this team was better in trades than free agency. Their ability to draft difference makers at 29 versus last year at 2 is very, very different. And I do believe that they have used some of these picks smartly. They know the cap situation. They're going to be able to afford these guys long-term if they're good. And they still have just enough draft capital to still get guys. And by the way, there's guys in the hopper from last year like Jordan McGee and Dominique Hampton that they certainly, Luke McCaffrey, who they think are going to take bigger steps this season. So, yeah, all the obsession with the plan is, to me, the silliest ongoing piece of NFL analysis. Whatever your plan is, be good at it. If you can't trade up for a quarterback unless you're the Chiefs and you draft Patrick Mahomes. The Bears did it. They traded up for Mitchell Trubisky. Trading up for a quarterback is stupid. Let me give you all the examples of every team that's traded up for quarterbacks. The Eagles with Carson Wentz. The Bears for Trubisky. Go on down the list of teams that have bombed that. And I'll give you the Chiefs and Mahomes and say, well, they were right. Being right is the most important thing, not how you actually approach the plan. Not to say it doesn't matter, not to say there aren't choices you have to make along the way, but this obsession with homegrown organic talent when there isn't a whole lot here, and they're probably telling us something about what they think of this draft, maybe we should listen.
I think you said that succinctly. One thing I will also add in terms of like the plan, sometimes that plan doesn't work though. I think if you look at the Dolphins, and maybe this is probably what he's doing or trying to get at, and how they sort of kind of, microwave their situation, bringing in Tyreek Hill. You had Waddle, too, was building on like what he, his first couple of seasons.
They had some, like, their two-year stretch before this year when Tua got hurt was like their best two-year stretch in forever.
Exactly. So I think, but I'm saying, like, bringing in Tyreek Hill, though, you would assume that they were, do a little bit better. Granted, they end up going to the playoffs. They end up losing. But does that count as a failure kind of thing? Or it just didn't work kind of thing?
Would they have been better? Let me ask you this. If they had saved whatever draft capital, do you think it is possible that the Dolphins could have been better without Tyreek Hill?
No.
Things that happened to the Dolphins. Every single edge player they got hurt.
Yep, that too.
That probably mattered a lot. That playoff run, they lose Bradley Chubb right before the end of the season. I think that probably had a big deal. But no one wants to talk about that. They just went, oh, the plan, they made a trade and that's why. No. It's football. Stuff happens.
Yeah.
Like, I'm looking down. Okay, here are the teams with double-digit wins last year. You tell me how they're built. The Buffalo Bills, they're built on the back of Josh Allen.
Yeah.
The Baltimore Ravens. Who was the second most important Raven, arguably, last year?
Probably Derrick Henry.
How was he acquired?
Free agency, actually.
Yeah, not homegrown. Best year they had in a while. Yeah. They've been good, but that was probably the best Ravens team that I think most people said. Also, Lamar probably grew more, and he also had a different task last year because of Henry's presence. The Steelers, I don't know what the Steelers are. They're homegrown, but also not grown. They're Mike Tomlin. Texans, microwaved. Most of the dudes they microwaved outside of Mixon got, like, Diggs got hurt. They fell apart with injuries. And also, I don't want to hear the Texans comparisons to the Commanders because I would assume that Cliff Kingsbury doesn't forget every single thing that got him to this point. Next year, he's just a much more experienced play caller than Bobby Slowik. And Bobby Slowik went from head coaching interviews to getting fired. I think that had more to do with the Texans' failures than anything about the roster moves that they made. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Okay. The Chiefs, they're kind of homegrown. Mahomes, you know, they traded up for him. Obviously, Kelce, Chris Jones. They've made a couple of smart acquisitions. They've also done an incredible job of developing players. Fine. I'll give you the Chiefs. Chargers, they remade everything last year. Jim Harbaugh puts it together with bubblegum and scotch tape and running the football, and next thing you know, they're 11-6. The Broncos won 10 games. Would you follow the Broncos plan? Hey, guys, how do we get an $80 million dead cap hit? We want to do the Broncos plan. They're well coached. They did a good job with Bo. Their defense is sick. If you can draft the best corner in football, you should do that. Pat Surtain's awesome. Anchor of their defense. Eagles. Eagles are fun because everyone loves to say that they're homegrown. Who are the three best players on the Eagles, Anthony?
So you got Saquon, you got AJ, and then you got...
I would say Jalen Carter.
Oh, yeah, Jalen Carter.
Although, if you want to make an argument, Mailata, Lane Johnson, like their O-line is sick. But I would say Carter, Saquon, AJ are probably the three best players on that team. Literally, one was acquired via free agency, one was traded for, and one was drafted. Please tell me more about how they're entirely organically homegrown. Washington, Detroit, homegrown, except for the part where they traded for their quarterback.
Yep.
The Vikings... mixed bag homegrownness versus other things. They signed Darnold in free agency. Packers, they're actually very homegrown to the point that some of it's a problem. They need other positions. If the Packers had more talent and weren't quite so homegrown, they'd actually probably be a better football team.
Yep.
On down the list you go. So I think we made our point, I guess is my point. Connor, we await your next podcast or writing. Or you can come on the show and we can talk about it. Just reach out. I'm not that hard to find. When we get back, Dave Johnson joins us ahead of Jazz and Wizards tonight.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new unrivaled league, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.